Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. My name is Matt Smith and I am a pastor here and I am grateful to be with you this morning. We were going to welcome a colleague and friend, Reverend Kathy LaPointe-Collip, this morning, but Kathy came down with a sickness, so she's not able to be with us. And so my hope is that we'll have her as a guest down the road, but it is a gift to be together on this rainy day with you all as we find our way in worship together. I'm going to invite us to stand either in body or spirit, and we'll move together into worship with what the church calls a call to worship. And this will be a responsive prayer, so I'll share the voice of one and invite us to join our voices together. As all. Our God is a shepherding God. Our God knows us by name. Our God will never stop searching for us. So if you feel lost, then know that God is seeking you. If you feel found, then know that God will never leave. This is the promise of Scripture. This is the promise of God's love. Let us worship our with us God. I'll invite us to remain standing as our musicians share their own arrangement of Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm going to invite us to just remain standing. This is a short poem that comes to us from Reverend Sarah Speed, and this is called The Good Shepherd. So let us be in a...
Jesus said, "Who among you wouldn't leave the 99? Who among you wouldn't look for the one?" Someone in the crowd probably rolled their eyes. Someone squirmed and looked at their palms. Someone sighed and thought to themselves, "This man doesn't understand the business. What fool would leave 99 to look for one?" But maybe God was not talking about us. Maybe God was talking about her own reckless love. Maybe God was talking about her own willingness to turn the world upside down for me.
La 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 precious love. La 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 la. Oh, to grace, how great a day.
This is fun. Welcome. Welcome to the table. Let's all breathe in and breathe out. Welcome to this divine dance. We welcome those gathering online at table.live. And at JetCenter app. Our host today is Kara Tuping, so if you do have any questions, please reach out to her. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary. You'll find it right at the pews. You can use your phone and it will take you to our bulletin. And it has information about our Easter and our online platform and details of our online services that we have. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, you can text NEW to 916-452-5016. We'll celebrate baptism at Sunrise Service Easter, April 30th in Rose Garden at McKinley Park. Anyone interested about baptism is encouraged to join Pastor Matt for conversation in the sanctuary today at 11 a.m. worship gathering. So please sign up on our website and meet up with Pastor Matt. We offer a six-week series called Growing in Faith. This is a way designed for newcomers to learn more about how we share practice here at the table. We have two Growing in Faith series underway, and registration is full for our new series, which begins April 22. Please stay tuned to our website for detail for our new offerings for Growing in Faith. This morning, I had wonderful hospitality group, and I love the fact that I have two little ones who are welcoming people as they were coming in. And it's a beautiful touch to our hospitality group. And I love seeing that. So if you have seen our email this couple of weeks, I did send out an email for April 20th and our Monday, Thursday, for Easter sunrise, Easter service. So that's there's a Thursday, there's a Friday, and there's also a Sunday service. So for April 20th, we have sign-ups for people who would like to help us for sunrise services. It's available for each and everyone to log in and use your Chat Center app or our website, and you can sign up. Also, we have auto-scheduled according to the preference. So you will see your sign-up if you have chosen your preference, and our system auto-schedules you accordingly. So please go ahead and confirm if you're available or decline if you're not. So I encourage all of you to use your Chat Center app or use your email, as you would have seen the email coming from our hospitality email. I invite us to remain seated and join our voices as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing a historical hymn with music arranged in 1844 with lyrics for today by Anna Strickland and A Sanctified Art. This song is called Lost and Found.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, I think it's working. Is it working? Hey, my name is Bob Martinez. And whether you're visiting online or in person, welcome to the table on this rainy fourth Sunday of Lent. And welcome back, Diamond. Lady can sing, can't she? Holy mackerel. Each and every one of this music team are so gifted, such talent. Wow. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with a little walking music. I'll remind families that we do receive an offering during Godly Play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Throughout worship and Godly Play takes place right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school from kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the 15th chapter of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, and they were saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to remain seated as our music team sings a song that is new to us. It's a song by Brian McLaren, who is a close personal friend of Father Richard Rohr, working together at the Center for Contemplative Studies, and this song is Losing Faith, Finding Faith.
I'm losing faith in the God of barriers. I'm finding faith in the God of bridges. Losing faith in the God of walls. I'm finding faith in the God of windows. I believe, oh yeah. I'm losing faith in the God of violence. I'm finding faith in the God of kindness. Losing faith in the God of fear. I'm finding faith in the God of freedom. I believe, oh yeah. I'm losing faith in the God of elites. I'm finding faith in the God on the streets. I'm losing faith in the God of war. I'm finding faith in the God of the poor. I believe, oh yeah. I'm losing faith in easy answers. I'm finding faith in bigger questions. Losing faith in certainty. Finding faith in mystery. I believe. I believe, oh yeah. Losing faith in God of plunder. I'm finding faith in the God of wonder. faith and open hands. I'm losing faith in the love of power. I'm finding faith in the power of love.
And as our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depths of your love find us in this moment. In the parts of ourselves that feel lost, may your love meet us. In the parts of ourselves that feel too easily found, may your love unsettle us. In all that we are and all that we do, may we be held within the folds of your grace now and always. We offer this in your creative ways in many names. Amen. I was looking forward to Pastor Kathy LaPointe-Collip sharing a message with us. Pastor Kathy is one of the many pastors who came alongside Pastor Linda and me 15 years ago when we were planting this community. She came down with pneumonia earlier this week and let me know she couldn't be here, so we will have her back on a future Sunday. She was going to close her message with a story that I would like to share with you to open this morning. Kathy was serving a small rural community of faith here in California early on in her ministry, and there was a young person in that community, we'll call her Susan. Susan was 16 years old. She was active in that church's youth group and generally well-loved by that church community. And one day, Pastor Kathy received a call from Susan. And Susan was in tears, and so Kathy, as Kathy does, dropped everything and said, "I'll come and meet you," and met her to have a soda with this young 16-year-old. And as they sat down, through the tears, Susan shared with Pastor Kathy that she was pregnant. And eventually, this news about this teen pregnancy spread through the wider community, and Pastor Kathy felt like her little church community was actually doing a really good job of being supportive to this young person. And then suddenly, Susan stopped coming to worship. And so Kathy reached out to check in, and she learned through another follow-up call that Susan felt like the older women in the congregation, when she came in, were giving her looks, and she was worried that they were gossiping about her. And as it would happen, the women's group in that little church was meeting later that week, and so Pastor Kathy called the leader of the women's group and asked to talk with them. Pastor Linda had her own unique bluntness, and Pastor Kathy has a little bit of that bluntness as well. So when Kathy got to the women's group, she opened with a question. She said, "Do any of you realize or recognize anybody missing from worship in this small little church?" And everybody kind of looked down, and they shook their heads. And Kathy waited in that uncomfortable silence. And then she leaned in. "Could you think about it a little bit more?" And finally, one woman acknowledged that Susan hadn't been there in a couple of weeks. And Pastor Kathy pressed, "Do you know why she's not coming?" And again, the eyes averted and went down. And folks kind of shook their heads. And it was hard and it was uncomfortable, but Pastor Kathy leaned in, as a pastor is called to do at times. She believes that you're gossiping about her. When she comes into this space, she feels judgment when she comes into worship. And everyone's head hung. They didn't actually have to say anything. Guilt was written on their bodies as they gathered. And then Pastor Kathy says, well, what are you going to do about it? What do you mean? The women respond. What do you mean? They responded, looking to each other. Well, you need to figure a way to reach out to her, Kathy said bluntly. And that group of older women came up with a plan. They decided they were going to ask Susan if it would be okay if they shared a church-wide baby shower to try to collect items that she and the coming baby would need. They all came together, actually, to reach in love over the long haul. They came up with a calendar, figuring out how they could divide up opportunities to care for the child so that Susan could continue on with high school and eventually graduate. Within a few weeks, Susan found her way back among them. She was sitting among the very people that she had felt so deeply hurt by, judged by. And so as I was reflecting on Kathy's story this week, I just kept wondering, in that little rural farming community, who was actually lost? The teen girl who was pregnant and felt judged? Or the women whose looks and gossip made that teenager feel so profoundly unwelcome? Who was really lost? And what does it even mean to be found? Our Lenten worship series, which comes from a collective of artists and theologians that call themselves a sanctified art, is called Everything in Between. And it invites us to hold these kinds of big questions, the dichotomies of being both lost and found, the nuance and the complexity, hopefully in ways that takes us beyond simplified black and white answers to questions and into deeper mysteries and questions and uncertainties, as our musicians just so beautifully sang in the new song to us from Brian McLaren. Hopefully, as we move beyond these oversimplified answers that this church has been so loud and so often proclaiming, we might find ourselves trusting in a bigger God that shows up in shades of gray and rainbow hues and everything in between. And one of our goals this morning in worship is to actually just normalize that we all travel somewhere on this spectrum of being both lost and found throughout our life journeys, and sometimes even at the same time in one moment. We hope that this is an invitation to wonder about where you might be, where we might be on this spectrum at this moment, and where God might be seeking us at this time. As with most things in Scripture, it is critical to understand the context of these ancient stories. And this is true for our story, which Bob shared this morning from Luke 15 as well. Jesus is responding to a group of religious leaders who are hostile toward the fact that Jesus wants to include a broader group of people in their community. In short, Jesus seems to say all means all, and the religious leaders respond, no, all means us and some others. And Jesus is welcoming tax collectors and sinners at the table. And the religious leaders say they should actually go dine somewhere else. These are people we would rather not have among us. The religious leaders, in short, they question Jesus' inclusive ways, and they try to suggest that actually his inclusion, sitting with these outsiders, is undermining Jesus' authority. They don't call him out, they don't call him in, as we might say today. They call him out. They call him out for being too welcoming. And as you've been called out at moments, there are all kinds of ways that you can respond in that moment. Sometimes you meet the resistance with resistance, the violence with violence. You come back quoting things at someone else. You argue point by point. But Jesus instead opts for a parable, which is a short, disruptive story that often leaves people speechless. So instead of arguing as a way to try to ground his own authority, he tells them this wild story that invites them to wonder about how those who are in authority, like them, are called to seek the lost, to celebrate with great joy when one who is lost returns to community or is found. The story opens with this. Jesus says to them, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until you find it?" Like Pastor Kathy with the women's group, this is a blunt challenge to these religious leaders at this moment. Kathy is a youth pastor at heart, and she suggests that we think about this as though we are youth pastors with 100 middle school students, and we've taken them to New York City. We're down at Times Square. We're counting our 100 middle school students, and Tina, one of them is gone. You're the only chaperone there. So, Tina, are you going to leave 99 middle schoolers there at Times Square and go off searching for the one? No, you are not going to leave 99 to go find this one. You are going to figure out some other way to go about this. And Jesus poses this question: does the shepherd leave 99 sheep in the wilderness in an open field and go look for the one that's lost? The answer is obvious. The answer is no. No, you are not going to do that. Jewish New Testament scholar Dr. Amy Jill Levine writes this about how this parable is often interpreted. She says, "Traditional interpretations see the sheep as the believer who has strayed from the fold. The one in search is Jesus, or one of Jesus's representatives, who makes every effort to save this lost sheep from destruction. And the friends who join in feasting at the end, they're the church. This is an encouraging message. It is certainly good news. What has gotten lost, however, is any provocation, any challenge," says Dr. Levine. This parable has been interpreted in countless ways to make people feel lost over the generations. But most of those readings miss the subtle nuances because they lose the provocative challenge of the text. And so I want to invite us to try to stay close to the text and briefly reconsider how this disruptive short parable moves. It starts with the main character, but it's actually not the sheep that's lost. The main character in this story is the owner, the shepherd, the one tending those sheep, who realizes that something of value has been lost. He notices that a single missing sheep among the 99 in the wilderness is gone. And for him, this missing sheep, whether it's one in 100 or one in a million, makes the flock feel incomplete. So he engages in this exaggerated search for the one, leaving the 99 behind, and then engages in an equally exaggerated celebration, a rejoicing, first by himself and then with neighbors and friends. Notice the parable doesn't actually tell us why the one sheep is lost. And it doesn't say that this one sheep repented. It didn't happen. It doesn't assign blame or judgment on the sheep for being lost. In fact, if any blame could be ascribed in this little short story, I would suggest that it's for the one that was responsible for watching over the 100 sheep. And that's uncomfortable when you try to read the parable as though this is God doing the work of this. In one commentary, Dr. Levine suggests that instead of calling this, as it often is, the parable of the lost sheep, she suggests we call it the parable of the initially oblivious owner. In another commentary, Levine writes alongside Ben Witherington III, and they intentionally title this story, "The Counting, Seeking, Finding, Celebrating Sheep Owner." Oh, how titles change the way we hear and see things. Perhaps then this short story invites us to reconsider some of the things in our own lives today, like what are we counting? What is lost within us or around us? And if we were truly paying attention to what counts, how might we be called to go seeking that which is lost? Who or what would we need to find, to prioritize, to celebrate? If we were to be halted in our tracks by this short story, perhaps like the religious leaders were in Jesus' day, what might we need to reassess about our own lives and our own experiences of being both lost and found? I actually experience a lot of this parable, this short story, in our life together here at the table. So many brave people tune in online to a church after having been harmed profoundly by church. So many brave people walk through these doors with trepidation, in their bodies hurt, coming into this space. They feel maybe like that teenager in Pastor Kathy's church looked down on or judged. So many folks come into this space, into our community, experiencing a sense of loss in their own capacity to be in a space of belonging with others. Lost in connections to family and friends, sometimes to purpose and meaning. When we, like the shepherd, take the time to count, we will likely realize that we feel a bit lost sometimes, maybe even a lot of the time. We find things, sometimes many things in our lives that are missing. And I can hear Pastor Kathy asking us that same question that she posed to those church women. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about this? The women at that little church hosted a baby shower, and then they celebrated this teenager by showing up for her over the long haul as she found her way through finishing high school. They actually reconsidered their lives. They counted, noticed when they counted that one among them was not there, and then they had to do some seeking to figure out ways that they would actually help this young person feel a sense of belonging, of welcome, of finding and celebrating for the church to really be the church. And so I want to share a few of the ways that I am experiencing our community of faith living into this right now, right at this particular moment. After worship last Sunday, Andy, our community gatherer down at Table Farm, and a small group of folks gathered together at our new farm site, our new Table Farm site, which is at Florin Creek Park. Their mission last Sunday afternoon was to canvass the neighborhood. In other words, you meet up, you get in groups of two or three or four, and then you go knocking on doors, house to house in a neighborhood. I can feel the anxiety in the room as you imagine knocking on doors to talk to people about church. So many folks in our community go home on Sunday afternoon and go door to door knocking. No one's doing that this afternoon? No one? Well, Andy and this small group of folks gathered down at Table Farm. They got into groups and they started to go door to door to tell folks about this little farm, this little space that we came alongside others through the park district there, and we started to turn this space that used to be a parking lot into a little farm where we're going to grow food alongside neighbors. We already have cover crop there. One of the folks in our community, a student of theirs, is making this their senior project. They're coming alongside one another to grow food with neighbors and to give that food away to neighbors through an interfaith food bank. And as we got together, this group got together, and they went off in teams to and three and four, door to door. Some folks felt a lot more comfortable just dropping a flyer. Like, knock gently, hope no one hears, and leave a flyer. Others felt more bold. They were willing to knock on the door and to wait. And what they found, actually, is that some of these conversations needed to take place in Spanish. Many of them took place in English. There were teenagers that they came across, so they ended up telling teenagers that live in the area that this little church has a fellowship where we pay young people to come and learn about regenerative agriculture, to learn about spiritual formation, to learn about environmental justice, composting, and developing leadership skills. And we shared with teenagers in that little community all about this little farm that is one of the ways we show up to each other as church. Just think about the commitment to counting and seeking and finding and celebrating that it takes for this intergenerational small group to go knocking on doors like they did last Sunday. And if you were to tell me 15 years ago, when a small group of us was dreaming here about planting a new church called The Table, that an intergenerational group of people was going to gather together and start knocking on doors to talk to people about what it means to break bread and to love our neighbor, to reach in love to our neighbors, I would say that this sounds like a deeply committed church to counting and seeking and finding and celebrating in the very ways of Jesus. I would have been a little frightened that they were going door to door, but I would have gotten over it. It actually looks different for us out in Yolo County, but we're doing something similar out in that space. Over the last almost two and a half years, we've come alongside historic members at Davis United Methodist Church wondering about what a new expression of the table might look like for the many folks among us who come all the way across the causeway to be in worship here on Sundays at the table. We've been holding monthly pop-up worship there in Davis, imagining together what it could look like to potentially collaborate with this historic church or come alongside our regional United Methodist Church to offer new ways of being in worship in that space. We had thought that we might be in a place this summer to welcome a third pastor onto our team and that we would be ready to be a church in multiple places here in East Sacramento, down at Florin Creek Park in South Sac, online, and out in Yolo County. But now I find myself in a wilderness of tears, different for sure, but probably no less intense, actually, than that teenager felt when she was feeling ostracized by that church community. I find myself feeling lost in a wilderness of grief in the weeks after Pastor Linda's death. And that brave teenager decided to move through it and to show up anyways. And so many days I'm not certain or even remotely confident that I'm as brave as she was. But thankfully, I am surrounded like she was by many folks who aren't willing to let this go at this moment. Instead of keeping our heads down and moving forward as though nothing is different, we've decided to slow down. And Becca and Pearl and Kara are helping us to discern ways that we could move at the speed of discernment and intentionality. So instead of offering a pop-up worship on April 13th over in Davis, we're going to instead shift how we'll gather, and we'll offer instead what we're going to call a listening session at 4 o'clock in the afternoon out in the sanctuary in Davis on April 13th. We hope that this will be a time for us to listen deeply for how the Spirit might be stirring and guiding us in this wilderness moment. We don't want to be oblivious like this shepherd was initially. We want to faithfully count and take time to understand what has been lost. Who among us and who around us feels a sense of loss? And what might it look like for the table to be a place of connection and belonging where we can all feel a sense of being truly, deeply found? And if I were to tell you 15 years ago when we began planting this church, that an intergenerational team of folks from the table would slow down to listen for how the Spirit might be coming to those that live in Yolo County, and to wonder about how the Spirit might guide our next steps toward creating community and a place of belonging that is all about breaking bread and loving our neighbors, I would say that that sounds like a church that is deeply committed to counting and seeking and finding and celebrating in the very ways of Jesus. So friends, the truth is that each and every one of us is a little bit lost and a little bit found. Each and every one of us needs the love of the Good Shepherd to count us among what matters, to count you among what matters, to seek you out when you wander, to find us when we feel lost, and to celebrate us for simply being. So whether we come today with tears, like a frightened teenager who calls a pastor because they feel scared, or unconsciously closed off, like a group of church women who need to be nudged into practicing faith in ways that embody the deepest of belonging that God longs for us to know. May Jesus' short story compel us toward more faithfully counting and seeking and finding and celebrating in the ways of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, over the generations, many have used lost and found labels to describe people out there versus people in here. Many have used lost and found language to create a damaging dichotomy that Christians are found and non-Christians are lost. But the truth is, each and every one of us is a little bit lost and a little bit found. From time to time, each and every one of us needs the love of the Good Shepherd. So, as people who know both ends of the spectrum, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in a call and response prayer of confession. Let us pray. If God is a painter,
let us be the brush.
If God is a musician,
let us be the song.
If God is an architect,
let us be the tools. Let us be the hands. Let us be the builders.
But if God is the shepherd who never stops seeking,
let us be willing to be found no matter how lost we feel.
Our God is never far away.
Forgive us for forgetting this good news. Amen.
Family of faith, we are all a little bit lost and a little bit found. We grumble, we push back, we doubt God, we doubt ourselves. We leave the flock and lose our way, but fortunately for us, our God is a shepherding God who is always by our side. So hear and believe the good news of the gospel.
No matter how far we wander, we can never wander from the bounds of God's grace. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a greeting of peace with your neighbors.
Peace be with you. Peace, Debbie. Invite us to join our voices together in what the church calls the Lord's Prayer. These are words taught from Jesus to his disciples and passed through the generations, formed and reformed over time. And the version that we'll share this morning comes to us from the New Zealand Prayer Book. So let us pray. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour your spirit upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, you can't make a mistake. We will have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary, and one station in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers, and juice is in each cup. After breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews whenever you are ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
Friends, this is the bread of life. It's the body of Christ broken for you, and this is the cup of healing and forgiveness poured out for you and all of creation. Amen. Debbie, the bread of life broken for you. Amen. And God's love poured out for you. Amen. We encourage those of you praying with candles to stay for as long as you need in this bass solo. God, we give you thanks for the ways that your movement comes to us in music, in silence, in beauty, and in this space. May your love bind us together. May your healing be ours in this moment, and may your justice call us into the world. We offer this in the name of Jesus, in whom I place my hope. Amen, amen, amen. We hope, folks, that you will wonder about the next steps that God might invite you to take, ways that you might be called to reach and love. That may be by signing up for a shift down at the farm. It may be checking out our website and finding your way into an upcoming growing in faith opportunity. It may be as simple as meeting a new person as you step out from this space, or as you turn off this online worship and go meet a neighbor next door. It could look just like you encountering someone in this space and introducing yourself, inviting someone else to tell you a bit of their story and sharing just a bit of theirs. What happens when this one comes back is that the folks celebrate. And so we're going to go out this morning and worship with a song that invites us into that very space. You'll find information on our website about Holy Week. You'll find Rise Up Bread just outside. This, though, is called Come Out the Wilderness. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and our musicians will help us to move in this celebration.
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness? Shouting when I come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
When I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, I felt like shouting when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, leaning on the Lord. Oh, I run and tell my Father when I
come out the wilderness.
When I Father, when I
come out the wilderness,
oh, leaning on the Lord. Oh, I run and tell my mother when I
come out the wilderness,
when I
come out the wilderness,
when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, I run and tell my mother when I
come out the wilderness.
Oh, when I
come out the wilderness,
when I
come out the wilderness,
when I
come out the wilderness,
oh, I told everybody when I
come out the wilderness,
oh, leaning on the Lord.
Friends, we gather as a people who are called to count and to seek and to find and to celebrate. These are the very ways of God. So may we go from this place trusting that we all are in a place of belonging. And may we go from this place with a deep longing to connect others to that sense. Go in peace, loving God and neighbor. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'm leaning
on Jesus.
I'm leaning
on Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Oh, I'm leaning.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Oh, I'm leaning.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Oh, oh, Jesus.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Oh, I'm leaning.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Oh, I'm leaning.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Oh, I'm leaning.
I'm leaning.